In Acts chapter 9, we're going to look here at a man in the Bible named Saul. Saul of Tarsus. And his conversion here in Acts chapter 9. I'll begin reading in verse number 1. In Acts chapter 9, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men at which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink." There in verse number 5, he says, "Who art thou, Lord? Who art thou, Lord?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, I do come to you again in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that you fill me with your Spirit here today. I pray you'll give me your power, give me your boldness, give me your strength, give me your Spirit, Lord. I need you here today. I pray, Lord, you'll have your will and way here today, and we'll give you all the glory for it. And it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Now, Saul of Tarsus. All right. So just, I'm going to put my disclaimer out there right now. Saul is also Paul, right? Saul, we see here, he's going to get saved, and the Lord is going to change his name to Paul. All right, so I might say Saul, I might say Paul. He's the same person, okay? He's the same person, all right? So Saul of Tarsus was the greatest persecutor of the Lord Jesus Christ and His church. Saul was born in Tarsus, which is a city of Cilicia, and it was a free city of the Romans, making him a Roman citizen. Very important, very important. His father and his mother were both Jews, and he called himself the Hebrew of Hebrews. He was of the tribe of Benjamin, which adhered to Judah. Saul was a very, very educated man. He was very educated. He was educated in the schools of Tarsus, and then he went to Jerusalem to study the Jewish law, and his tutor was a man by the name of Gamaliel. Gamaliel was a well-known Pharisee, and he taught Paul according to the perfect law, all right, the perfect manner of the law. And this is where Paul developed mightily in learning the law, in learning the textbook, okay? But as great as Paul's education was, and just like the education of today, it led him astray. His education didn't lead him to Christ. It drove him away from Christ. His education didn't make him closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. It put a wedge in between him and Jesus Christ. Now, in our passage of Scripture here today, we see the account of Saul getting saved, right? Saul was on the road to Damascus. He is going there to persecute Christians. He's going there to arrest Christians, to have them put in jail, and ultimately he wants them dead. It's interesting to note, though, that Damascus is almost about 200 miles away from Jerusalem, and it's not even in the same province of Judea. And so this just proves Saul's zeal, his drive, his motivation, his want to, whatever you want to call it, his zeal to have all the Christians put to death. He was a very zealous man, and he was very driven on the purpose of wiping out Christianity. But as we see in our text here, on the way, Saul meets the Lord Jesus Christ, and he gets saved, he gets born again, and the Lord changed him immediately. Right? Instead of going into Damascus to persecute the Christians, Paul's going into Damascus, a Christian, to be persecuted. All right? Things change, right? And very soon, as I mentioned, Jesus is going to change his name from Saul to Paul. But Paul was a man who changed the world. Right? As you go through and you read the book of Acts, he changed the world through his preaching of the gospel, through his missionary journeys, and through him starting many churches and soul winning and all those things. He changed the world. But he paid for it too. It wasn't easy, was it? We know that Paul goes on to write at least 13 books of the Bible under the Holy Spirit leading. In 2 Peter 1:20 and 1:21, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You see, that pen in Paul's hand wrote down exactly what the Holy Spirit wanted him to write down. Right? Paul is the human author, but the Holy Spirit is the author. So today I just want to look at some truths from our text here today. Some truths about the conversion of Saul. So number one here, I want you to see Saul the persecutor. Right? If you look there in Acts chapter 9 and verses 1 and 2, we'll see Saul the persecutor. It says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues." Right? So he goes to the high priest and says, "Hey, I want to go get those Christians. I want to go get them." He says, "And that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." The word "this way," that's what Christians were known. Those that followed Jesus Christ were known as "this way." Right? They didn't have a term for them yet, and so they were known as those that are following "this way." But as we read here, we see Saul the persecutor. We see Saul was consumed with anger. He was consumed with wrath. He was consumed with hatred. He wanted to destroy Jesus Christ, and he wanted to destroy "this way." The Bible says there that he breathed out threatenings and slaughter. Threatenings and slaughter. And in the Greek, it paints a picture of him actually breathing in or inhaling the hate. So he's inhaling. He's taken into his heart the hatred that he has for Christians, right? We know Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And so as we look here, the hatred, Paul's heart, is what is coming out in the wrath of the Christians. We know, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What is in the heart is going to come out, right? So Paul's hatred here, him being a persecutor, it's in his heart. It's in his blood. It's who he is, right? It is his hatred. Now, the first mentioning in the Scriptures of Saul is in Acts chapter 7. So if you flip over a page or two and look there in Acts chapter 7 in verse number 58. In Acts chapter 7 in verse 58, all right, Stephen is martyred here. Stephen is stoned. Stephen preached a message about Jesus, and they didn't like what they heard. Right? It pricked their heart. They didn't like it. And so they drug him out and they're going to stone him. In Acts 7, verse 58, the Bible says there, "And cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul." First introduction of Saul right here. He's at the martyr of Stephen. Stephen is being martyred. He is there. He is witnessing it. He is even holding the coats of the men who are partaking in that. If you look there in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death." And look there at verse number 3. It says, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women committed them to prison." Right? He is on a rampage. He is ready to go. Right? He is going about causing havoc on the church. He's going house to house searching for the Christian, searching for anybody that's following Jesus Christ, searching for anybody of this way. He is a persecutor of the church of Jesus Christ. He hunted down, he slaughtered Christians. if we could look here at his testimony of his own self, if you flip over to Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22, we see here Paul, who is Saul, the persecutor. In Acts chapter 22, Acts chapter 22, in verse number 4, he says, "And I persecuted this way unto the death." Right? He went out, he searched, he persecuted them unto the death. Paul's serious about this. All right? He persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering in the prisons both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there, bound unto Jerusalem to be punished. Saul persecuted the Christians to death. And flip to Acts 26. Acts 26, look there in verse number 9. Saul the persecutor. This is who he is. Acts 26, verse number 9, it says, "I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death," get this, "I gave my voice against them." Right? Paul went out, he persecuted them. He had them arrested. He gave his voice to put them to death. In verse 11, he says, "And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities." That would explain him traveling so far to Damascus. He was set out to destroy Christianity, to destroy Jesus Christ. Saul was a persecutor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, I want you to see, if you could flip back over to Acts chapter 9, where we started. Secondly, I want you to see Saul's great conversion. His miraculous conversion here in Acts chapter 9 and verse number 3. Saul is going to get born again. Saul is going to get saved. Saul is going to become a new person in the Lord Jesus Christ here. In Acts chapter 9 and verse number 3, "So then as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Right, we see here Saul's conversion. He called Jesus Christ Lord. Right? He submits to Jesus Christ. The conversion of Saul here is a dramatic one. It's a miracle. It's a dramatic one. He was changed. He was born again. He was a new creature. Saul met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus and got born again. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." All things are new. Paul is going to go into Damascus a Christian. He never would have imagined that happening. Could you imagine that? Hey, the day I got saved, I never imagined when I woke up that's going to be what would happen. Right? Saul never imagined this happening to him this day. But when you meet the Lord Jesus Christ, things are going to change. Right? Things are going to change. He was instantaneously changed. In a moment, he was changed. You see, Paul had persecuted the Lord for so long. He had rejected the Lord for so long. He was on the verge of condemnation. You and I here today, if you've rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, if anybody has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ and never been born again, you're on the verge of condemnation. You're on the verge of eternal torment in hell. You're on the verge of the old heart stop ticking and off to eternity you go. In John 3:18, he says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Saul was a religious man, but his religion wasn't getting him to heaven. You see, He met the Lord Jesus Christ here and he got saved. He was converted. He was humbled. He was convicted. He cries out, "Who art thou, Lord?" He knew it was the Lord. He knew who it was. He knew beyond the fact of the matter that he was a terrible sinner. Right? All those things we looked at already, and that wasn't even the most of it. That was just a little bit of it. We saw him as a persecutor. He persecuted Jesus Christ. He persecuted the church. But now he met the Lord Jesus Christ. And in 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Paul's saying, "Hey, I am the chief sinner." Right? Jesus Christ saved me, the chief sinner. I persecuted him. I persecuted the church. I stood there when Stephen was martyred. I held those men's coats. I put people to death. I gave my voice to it. I persecuted the Lord Jesus Christ, but he saved me. He made me a new creature, a new person. I've been born again. Hey, look, there's no thing so bad that you've done that Jesus can't save you. There's nothing that you've done that the Lord Jesus Christ cannot forgive you of and save you and make you a new person. All you have to do is Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But Paul here, Saul, he asked a key question. He says, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What wilt thou have me to do?" Have you ever said that? Hey, have you ever asked the Lord, "What would you have me to do?" Have you submitted to the Lord for salvation? That's the first thing he's going to have you do. You see, Jesus Christ paid it all. God loves you so much, he sent his Son. Jesus, he died on the cross. He shed his blood. He was buried. He rose again the third day. That's the gospel message. The only message that saves. You can't get saved by being a good person. You can't get saved by being dipped in the water of the baptismal. You got to be born again. And Saul here is our example for that. In Romans 10 and verse number 9, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth on the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made on the salvation. Hey, that's what it looks like. Right? That's what it looks like. That's what salvation looks like. This conversion of Saul was dramatic. It was dramatic. He was brought up in religion to know the scriptures. He was brought up to know the law, to obey the law. But look, the law wasn't getting Paul to heaven, and he knew that. He met the Lord Jesus Christ and he knew that. He knew the law was only going to make him come up short. He knew that Jesus Christ was the only way. And you know, Jesus says it best. He says it better than anybody can say. In John chapter 3, he tells Nicodemus, who was a religious man, he says, "Ye must be born again." You say, you're not going to heaven unless you're born again. You and I aren't going to heaven unless we've been born again. You see, it doesn't matter that you're a member of a Baptist church. It doesn't matter if you're a member of the Catholic church. Ye must be born again. That's for all people. People want to say, "Oh yeah, preacher, I hear you, but we're all the children of God." We're all the children of God, right? No, we're all God's creation. We're all God's creation. And people say, "Oh, we're all children." No, we're not. We are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do, in John 8:44. Right? We're all God's creation, but you got to be born again. Jesus tells us you got to have that second birth. Why? Because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. You must have that second birth. You must be born again. In John 1:12-13, it tells us. He says, "But as many as received him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And verse 13 says, "Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." You got to be born again. You got to be born of God. It's simple. It's simply putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all it is. Before Paul's conversion, he kept the law. He was a master at the law. He was taught leaps and bounds above the law, to know the law. But that law doesn't save anybody, does it? Turn over to James chapter 2. Let me show you this. Hold your place here. Turn over to James chapter 2 and look there in verse 9 and 10. people compare themselves to keeping the law, but the law is there for one reason, to show us that we've all failed, to show us that we all fall short. The law, nobody could keep the law completely. Jesus Christ is the only one that kept the law. In James chapter 2, in verses 9 and 10, in James chapter 2, in verse 9 and 10, he says, "But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." Hey, you could take the law and you're like, "All right, I kept this law, I kept this law, I kept this law." Right? But if there's one there that you can't keep, you fail in all of them. You come short in all. And that's what the law does. Right? Remember the rich young ruler, "Oh, I've done this. I've done this. I've done this." Jesus says, "Well, sell all your goods and come follow me." "Well, I can't do that. I can't do that." Right? We all come short. And Paul knew that. We can't get to heaven by keeping the law. It's only through Jesus Christ. And that's why he said in John 14:6, it's so simple here. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Hey, you can argue it. You can disagree with the preacher. Hey, but the Bible is perfectly clear. And Jesus is perfectly clear. And he means what he says. He means he is the only way you're getting to heaven. Right? You think you can come some other way? Hey, the rich man in hell lift up his eyes. He died and lift up his eyes being in torment. And he's still there. He thought he could come some other way. But Jesus is the only way. And Paul realized that this day. And Paul was converted on the road to Damascus. A changed man. Thirdly here, I want you to see if you could turn back over to Acts chapter 9. Back there in Acts chapter 9, I want you to see here, Paul's calling was to suffer for Jesus. His calling was to suffer for Jesus. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 15 and 16, Acts chapter 9 and verse 15 says, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Hey, get this. We got to get this. Folks, we got to get this. We got to get this. There's going to be times of suffering. All right? There's going to be times of trials. There's going to be ailments. There's going to be cancers. There's going to be this disease. There's going to be this ailment. There's going to be all kinds of ailments and trials and storms in our life. We got to get this. Some of these things, we got to suffer for His name's sake. Paul was an example to us. Paul is going to suffer greatly for the namesake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, are you suffering with something today? Is there an ailment in your life? Is there an infirmity in your life? Is there something you're going through? A storm? A sickness? Hey, we got to get this. There's going to be times in our life we are going to suffer for Jesus Christ. Are you willing to suffer for Jesus Christ? I mean, it's a fair question. Are you willing to sign up? If I said, "Hey, sign up to be a Christian, we're going to be persecuted, maybe even persecuted to our death," are you willing to sign up? I'm willing. Are you willing? Paul was willing, amen, and the world was changed. But we got to get a hold of this, right? Paul's calling here is to preach the gospel. He says he's going to go before the Gentiles. Hey, thank God he did. That's you and me. Right? It's not just for the Jews, it's for all people, the Gentiles as well. And Paul's calling is to suffer for us, for the Gentiles, for the kings and the children of Israel, for all people. He is to preach the gospel. He is to preach the gospel across the Roman Empire, and he's going to suffer for it. We're going to get there, but he is going to suffer for it. You know, I learned a lot as I was going through Bible college and then COVID hit. You know, I learned a lot about, because I watched what was going on and how the government was taking over things and trying to dictate things, and they were trying to make people do things that they should have never been able to make people do, and people were doing them. One of those things was closing churches and all the things that went along with that, and I understand it was a new thing. Nobody, if you teach COVID and you go into Bible college, I get it, didn't understand it, didn't know what was going on. But I made up my mind. As I looked and things portrayed and things went about, I made up my mind. I said, if I ever am a preacher or a pastor sometime, and they come in, the government comes in and tries to unlawfully close the church, I am not closing the church. I will stand there. We will not close the church. We will meet. The government cannot do that. Right? The government is not allowed to do that. And I just made up my mind that I'm doing it then. Hey, Paul made up his mind. He was going to suffer for Jesus. Are you willing to suffer for Jesus? Right? They come in and they arrest me, so be it. I'm willing to suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ. Why? Turn over to Galatians chapter 2 and I'll show you. Galatians chapter 2, Paul lays it out again pretty clearly. Here in Galatians chapter 2, in verse number 20, Paul was faithful. He was bold in his witnessing. He was bold in his preaching. He stood firm on what the Lord Jesus Christ had taught him. He is our example today. His calling was to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he explains it here in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Period. That should settle everything right there. That should settle separation. That should settle soul winning. That should settle everything, every aspect of the Christian life. I am crucified with Christ. I died with Him, right? My wants, my desires, my selfish things that I want to do. I am crucified with Christ. I died. That guy I used to be, that you don't know him, he's still there, right? But he died, okay? He was crucified with Christ in August of 2014 when I got born again. He was crucified. I am crucified with Christ. He says, nevertheless, I live. I'm still alive. I'm still living. But that old man's been crucified. He says, yet not I, but get this, but Christ liveth in me. Right? This isn't me, right? No way I could get up and preach. No way I could be a pastor. No way I could do any of those things. It's not me. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? He says, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's what it's all about. That's why I die daily. Why? Because the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That should settle it all. He gave Himself for me. I never have to go to hell. I never have to be in the torments of hell. I have peace and hope because He's always with me. He never leaves me nor forsake me. No matter what infirmity, no matter what sickness or disease comes upon me, He's not going to leave me. I have been crucified with Christ. I died with Him. It's not about me anymore. It's all about Him. My life is His life. And it's like this. I present my body a living sacrifice. If I can do it, any one of you can do it. And don't tell me you're too old, right, Brother Grady? You can still do it. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. It's a want to do it. Do you want to do it? Are you willing to suffer for Jesus Christ the way Paul was? No matter what comes upon us, no matter what the opposition, we must be faithful in getting the gospel out. In Matthew 28:19, the Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Hey, we're to go teach all nations. What? What are we to teach them? The gospel. How to be saved. Right? They get saved, they get baptized. Right? A new person in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the kind of witness we need to be. Wherever you are, wherever you go, we're to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. At work, at home, our family, at play, at school. You know, probably the best place right now to talk to people is the grocery store. Yeah, we go out and we knock doors, but sometimes nobody's home. But you go to the grocery store, especially this time of year, people are more apt to talk. They're more apt to listen. They're more apt to take those tracts. They're more apt to receive the gospel message. Everywhere is a good place right now. The world needs Jesus Christ. You know, there are more lost people on earth right now than ever before. There's more people on earth now, but there's more lost people there than ever before, and more lost people dropping off into hell every day. Makes me wonder. You know, it's this time of the year, It's great we get together with family, right? We want to spend time with family. We have all our family come in. But do you know if your family is saved? Do you know if your family is going to heaven? Do you know if all of your family, all of your group that you're going to be with over these holidays, has every single person been born again? Have they been saved? Do you know for sure they're going to heaven? My thought is that if you're not sure, you got to tell them. Right? You got to witness. Don't just be talking about the ball games and the weather and the nice turkey. Right? Make sure if they die and go to hell, and you never witness to them, never tell them how to get to heaven, their blood is on your hands. I mean, they're your family. Who can reach your family better than you? There are people you can reach that I can't reach, and there's people I can reach that you can't reach. But we got to be a witness. It's not an option. The Bible says, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel. So we got to move on here. Fourthly, I want you to see here, Paul conformed to do the will of God. In Acts chapter 9 and verse number 20, he conformed to do the will of God. The will of God was to suffer, we know that, but it was also to preach. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 20, the Bible says, and straightway, meaning immediately, he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Straightway, meaning immediately. He conformed to do the will of God. Hey, if you've been saved for any amount of time, are you conformed to do the will of God? Do you know what the will of God is for your life? Hey, do you know that? Hey, it doesn't matter how old you are again, God still has a will for your life. And Paul was ready to do that. In 2 Corinthians 4:5, the Bible says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Christ Jesus our Lord. That's who we're to preach. Not our thoughts, not our feelings. We're to preach Jesus Christ. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Hey, I want you to see here, lastly, that Paul continued on until the death. Paul continued on until death. He didn't quit, is my point. He knew he was going to suffer. He knew his calling was to go preach the gospel to the Gentiles and all people, to the Gentiles. He knew he was going to preach, and he also knew he was going to suffer. But Paul continued on until his death. In Acts 9, look there at verse 22. Acts 9, verse 22, the Bible says, but Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Paul was faithful. Paul was committed. He continued preaching. Those words there, increased the more, meaning that the more he did it, the more strength he had. The more stronger he was. He gained inner strength. And that wasn't just his own strength. That was strength in the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, and giving him strength. In 2 Timothy 2:1, the Bible says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus. If you could turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Show you a couple things here and then we'll be almost finished. And I want you to see here that Paul continued on until his death. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we know Paul went through some things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse number 7, we know he had a thorn in the flesh. Okay? It says in 2 Corinthians 12:7, unless I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. Uh-oh, here's that pride thing. You see, he had this thorn in the flesh, and it's there maybe to control his pride, so he didn't get prideful. It says in verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice. He took it to the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, get this, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Hey, do you ever glory in your infirmities? Your ailments, your infirmities, You're in the hospital. You're sick. Do you glory in the infirmities? My grace is sufficient for thee. His grace is sufficient for us all. He says, most gladly will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures. He says, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. He says, I take pleasure in my infirmities. Why? Because it was for Christ. Remember, He died daily. He was sacrificed with Christ. That's the only way He can go through all these things and still glory in His infirmities. Paul was faithful, wouldn't he say? He was faithful till the end. And there in 2 Corinthians, if you can look at verse number 11, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, look there in verse 23. 2 Corinthians 11, verse number 23, Paul went through some things here. It says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, and labor is more abundant, and stripes above measure, and prisons more frequent, and deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. 5 times he was whipped, 39 stripes. That's a lot. Right? They say 40 is the point to where you die. And he says, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the church. Hey, and that's not all of it. That's not all of it. Paul went through some things, but he didn't quit. He was faithful. How many of us would have quit after the first whipping? The first time we got stoned. The first time that the things didn't go our way. Right? The first time you disagreed with the preacher. Hey, the first time you didn't agree with what he did. Hey, the first time that things didn't go your way. Right? Wham! It didn't go my way. So what are we going to do? Right? Paul put all that to the side because he knew it was all about Jesus Christ. And he says in Philippians 3:13, he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. In verse 14 there he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now I'm going to close here. If you turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul pressed toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. He didn't quit. He didn't cry. He didn't have a pity party for me. Paul here in 2 Timothy chapter 4 is about to be put to death. He's about to be put to death. He's about to have his head removed from his body. He's about to be martyred, put to death. And as I read these verses here, I want you to think about this. As we read these verses, we do not see a defeated man. We do not see a man who regrets doing anything for the Lord. Right? He is victorious here. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He says in verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Hey, I fought the fight. I was right there. I didn't quit. The course the Lord gave me, my path, His will for my life, I fought the good fight. I did what I could. The Lord Jesus Christ guided, directed me. He protected me. And you know what? I kept the faith. I was faithful. I was committed. I didn't quit. I didn't quit. He says there in verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Hey, here's my point here. He was not defeated. He did not quit. He did not regret any of those things. But too many people, too many Christians quit before their time. Too many Christians come up with excuses and they quit before they die. The key is to keep pressing on. Keep pressing on so I can say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Christians are not supposed to quit. If you're alive, you're breathing, God has something for you to do. God has a will for your life. He has something for you to do. There is work to be done, Gilead Baptist Church. So, who art thou, Lord? Who art thou, Lord? I think it's time that we make Jesus Lord of our life. Let's pray.